so much in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that I wanted to come back to the Summer on the Mount, if you will, Sermon on the Mount, and move a little further down the road. And there's not only that, there's so much in there that I'm already kind of planning ahead for next summer, the same from the same area of Scripture's Jesus' message of the Sermon on the Mount. This series is really, to me, one of the most poignant series we can do, because it's based upon Jesus' finest message, and probably the greatest message ever preached by anyone, that was this message called the Sermon on the Mount. It's got its own title, and it was a powerful one. This is a message that Christians and non-Christians have been quoting from for years. In fact, Gandhi quoted from the Sermon on the Mount. He quoted, "My Jesus, our Jesus." It's that poignant. And there's some things in here that I think will help us. And it's really a series this now as we move to the next part, because the Beatitudes were all about how what our Beatitude ought to be, right? Our attitude ought to be, hello? But this is even a little more about being a better you, being a better follower, being a better Christian. And I want to focus in on, and I love the fact that we start today with the portion of the Scripture that Jesus is talking to them, and he says these words in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. Say, I am the salt of the earth. See, that's not my words. Those are Jesus' words. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. Some of you said that really quietly, like, whoa, I don't know. No, you are. Jesus said it. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And we saw just a few weeks ago, as we were looking at the Scripture, that faith without works is... And so, that works accompany faith. And he says here, in the same way that your good deeds will shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. It's not about doing good deeds so people will see us. It's about doing good deeds so people will praise the Father. They'll praise Jesus. They'll praise the Lord of God, our Lord God. The fact that we're starting this series right here is really cool, because I've been guiding us, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's been guiding me to guide you as a church over this summer to be an invite culture, just to search our hearts and to know we know someone who could seriously use Jesus, but maybe they're just out of fellowship or out of connection with church, and we want to encourage them to come back to church. This is a great summer to come on back. It's good. Come to the comedy thing. It's going to be a good thing. And so, but what we saw a couple weeks ago was that this great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, wasn't really as much a commission as it was flat out a command. That God is literally expecting us, all of us, to do our part, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I used to joke that I'm not sure you can be a Christian if you don't have a passport. It's kind of a joke, because the reality of it is he wants you to go into your world. You start there. That's where you start. And if God leads you to get a passport and move to Zimbabwe, go for it. But it starts with you being a witness right where you're at, in your hometown, with your family and your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors. Jesus said that we were salt, and Jesus said that we were light. And I want to encourage us to invite people and to share our faith. No one is exempt from this. He doesn't say you one day might become good enough to be salt. Scott, one day, as you know, if you hang out with all the light people, you might become light one day too. You know, you might grow up. It's not that. Jesus said straight up, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He's counting on us. He's asking us to reach the people around us. And it's our job to talk to people about Jesus. And now I'm saying something that I am not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. And I got to be honest with you. It's become really, really fun for me. It's not at all like back I used to get so intimidated about sharing my faith. It doesn't feel that way at all. Maybe it's just because I feel like, you know, what do I have to lose? My reputation? Ridicule? I mean, that just comes anyway. So I might as well just go for it. Are people going to think I'm weird? They already do. Some must have just go for it and share Jesus with them. You know, ridicule and criticism and those things, they happen. When you're standing up for something, when you're standing up for what you believe in, not in an obnoxious way, but you're taking a stand for the truth, ridicule and those kind of things happen. Criticism happens. Okay, the parade float, this is a little bit of an aside for you. But I'm walking the parade route in my red, white, and blue. Everything was red, white, and blue that day. It was awesome. We're walking the parade route, and we were just having a good time. And I'm minding my own business, hoping to share the love of Jesus with somebody. I'm hoping that they'll see our float and want to come to church and all that. And I'm walking down, and I'm having the greatest time. And people smiling, everybody going, and we're singing, "I'm proud to be an American." It's going on a thing, like the 900,000th time we've heard it on the parade route. And a woman who I've never met, never seen before in my life, and don't really know if I want to see her again, I'm just saying, yells out, "Hey, you need to tan those legs." Okay, thank you very much. That's what I'm talking about. You try and do anything, but I thought to myself, I wasn't even mad about it. I just kind of giggle. I'm like, I can't do anything right. I can't even, like, and by the way, stop checking out my legs, lady. I know it's a stumbling block, but come on. I'm just like, what are you doing? And so, you know, I'm going to take her advice. I'm going to the beach tomorrow. I feel like, you know, thus saith the Lord, go to the beach. I'm going. It's a prophetic word. What am I saying? Is anytime you stand up, you face ridicule, you face rejection. But in all honesty, it's not that hard to share your story. We overcomplicate it too much. It's not really that difficult to be salt and light the way God's calling us to it in this moment. And that's why Jesus is telling us, precisely why Jesus is telling us in our passage today, that we're supposed to be spiritual salt and spiritual light. The bottom line point that Jesus is making here is that we're supposed to influence the culture around us towards God. Let your light shine before men and they'll worship God. We're to be influencing. Salt is an influencer. Salt had a number of uses during Jesus' time, which was awesome because Jesus picked kind of ordinary things that they could relate to in order to share the gospel with them. It had a number of uses through Jesus' time. One was in the Old Testament, salt was used for cleansing. The priests, and they were given the instructions when they would offer sacrifices before the Lord. Here's the instructions. When you offer the sacrifice before God, the priest should throw a salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Salt was used as a preservative, kind of like we use refrigeration or a freezer, if you will, nowadays. But you can go to a lot of third world countries that don't have refrigeration, and you'll walk through the meat markets. When we were in China, it was like, kind of like, wow, is this for real? But you'd see like a chicken like hanging there, and it'd been there all day in the sun. I'm like, that's kind of gross, but that's what they had salted it, so it was being preserved. Salt was used as a preservative, but even more pronounced, and I think one of the main reasons why Jesus uses salt is that salt adds flavor. Amen. I don't know about you. This is an easy question. Easier question is to ask, how many of you don't like avocados? Just my son, 2, 3. Anybody else? Oh, I'm so sorry. This is a daily thing for me. I think it's, you know, the apple a day. This is a daily thing for me. This is my lunch almost every day. This something else maybe with it, but for the most part. And I currently have like 5 avocados on my desk right now, and they're all ripening. And this is a daily thing. And avocados by themselves are pretty good, but honestly, they're not all that great. Until, yeah, a little bit of salt. Hello? Amen. Some of you like salt on your watermelon or on your cantaloupe. Hello? I see you country folk. I know. That's hillbilly stuff right there. I'm with you. I'm so with you. Something, salt adds flavor. The idea of this is to add flavor to a situation. Salt gives off something. And I love the fact that he's calling us salt and we're to add flavor. But the Holy Spirit doesn't force us to be salt. In other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't grind your testimony out of you. He invites you to flavor the world around you. He invites you to do that. I love the fact that most people who attend church, especially here at this church, are really happy people. And we should be really happy people. We have the truth in us. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. And because of that freedom, we can actually walk in enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Everybody say the word enthusiasm. It comes from two root Greek words, in theos, which means to be in God. Because Christians are in God, we can have enthusiasm. Christians ought to be the most happy people on the planet. It just is the truth. Now, we all have bad days. Not me, but we all have bad days. Nobody ought to appreciate, though, the sunshine and the flowers and the planet and people. I love watching people. Anybody else love watching people? It's like we're all just so different, and I'm so grateful that you all don't look like me and I don't look like you. God knows that. I can look at all these things and go, wow, God is a good God. I can appreciate the wonder of God. Nobody ought to be able to love people like Christians love people. People who've experienced the fact that God loves them can love people around them. Nobody ought to be able to have as good an attitude as a Christian. Why? Because the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. That's all things, self-control. Those are all things that are produced in us as we're in Christ. It's enthusiasm. Flavor is like adding enthusiasm. But I know some Christians that feel like it's their role in life to suck the flavor out of everything. Take something that's good and let's just suck the flavor out of it and make it holy. You know, not to make it legalistic, turn it into a doctrine. No, I think the prayer for each of us, for me, my heart today, is that we become so salty, so filled with enthusiasm that the world just takes notice. They look and they're like, man, that guy is always happy. Have you ever seen that guy frown? No, I never have. What, I wonder what the deal is. Man, that person has never said a cross word about anything. Oh, man, that person, he must be, I wish I was that guy's friend because he's a good friend. I can tell. Those kind of notable things. Paul said about one of the churches he wrote to, he said, every time I think of you, I break out into exclamations of praise. Well, I pray that every time people think of me, they break out into exclamations of praise. Because I am filled with God and I'm filled with enthusiasm. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. We're the ones that help cleanse the atmosphere of negativity. We're the ones that add lasting value to the circumstances. But mostly, we can bring flavor to life. And we're shaking out of the salt shaker, which today, by the way, you're in the shaker. We're here in the shaker. And we're all just going, like, aren't we all salty? But this is not where the test is. It's when we get out of the salt shaker. When we get out of these these four walls, I thought how fun it would have been today to have passed out In-N-Out French fries to everyone without the salt. Because basically, I'm not a fries person anyway. I don't like French fries at all. And then take salt away from them. It's like In-N-Out, everybody swears by the fries, but like literally, they're just fries until you add salt. Change your life. I mean, I'll have a couple. You know, don't go crazy. But it's just not my thing. My point is this. Salt adds flavor. And Jesus said that we need to be salty. And we need to be the type of community that brings flavor to our community. In a world that's really, quite frankly, bland and cookie cutter, we need to bring the flavor of God to the situation around us. We should be the salt. We should be the light. Listen, church, the world has lost hope. And if those in the salt shaker don't bring that hope up, what hope does the world have? It's our responsibility to be salty. And then Jesus, he does something interesting. He switches the metaphor a little bit and he uses a different example, as Jesus was often known to do. He says to his disciples that they are the light of the world. The Gospel of John states it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and He was the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. It was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. That's our role, to shine in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. See, we're not the answer. We know the answer. We know who he is. The scripture goes on to say, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. There's a very strong spiritual thought here that John's communicating, that he's saying, John is saying, natural life as we know it, that is the earth, the mountains, the valleys, the hills, our physical bodies, all of the stars, all of those things. John calls the Word of God. He called them into existence. John identifies Jesus as the Word of God. And because in the beginning God spoke the world into existence. I love the fact that the first thing he spoke into existence was light. Let there be light. I love it. Let there be light. Think about it. In the natural world, we get 100% of what we need for energy and life because of the sun. The sun feeds it. Like, wow, isn't the moon bright today? No, the moon is just reflecting the brightness of the sun. The moon doesn't have any brightness of its own. It doesn't reflect on its own. All of our life is dependent upon the sun. In fact, the oxygen that we breathe comes from the fact that the sun hits a plant, and there's a process called photosynthesis, easy for me to say, and then it translates carbon dioxide into oxygen, and it's all a part of the process of life. This is the natural way that God produced things and made things together. But I know this, on a spiritual sense, the creator of life, the giver of life, the energy that I need comes directly from the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. And what I love about that, unlike the natural way where the sun hits the plants, they make oxygen and come and we breathe it, we exhale it, and then there's a circle. I love this because when it comes to God's spiritual life, there's no middleman. It's directly from the throne to your heart and my heart, to my soul and your soul. The life that God breathes over us comes directly to us from that. That's where the energy comes from. Jesus is the creator of both types of the light. He created the light energy for the process of life, but he also created a personal energy for the process of your spiritual life. Jesus did that. And that energy comes directly from the Son of God. And it's available to every single person in this room, every single person in the world. Jesus also made it very clear when he said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But now that Jesus is in heaven, he leaves us to be the light of the world. Jesus is telling us that it is our responsibility as the body of Christ to be the light of the world. And the question is then many times, what kind of light do you want to be? Can we get this blacked out in this place for just a second, Brandy? Thank you. I'm on the fly, but it's close enough to black out. Now I can see who's playing with their phones. I know you got your Bible open. The question is, what kind of light do we want to be? Now, obviously, it's easy to look up here because you see the light. But light is supposed to be seen. Light is supposed to be attractive. Light is supposed to be something that you're drawn to. Now, the question is, what kind of light do you want to be? I want to be the kind of light God has called me to be. Some Christians feel like that their role is the job of spotlight. There's a sinner right there. There he is. There he is. You see him? You see him right there? Don't sit next to him. See, there you go. See, my point is that this is how a lot of Christians do it, though. And we were just obnoxious. It's just obnoxious almost. Please don't look right into light, okay? But that's how we feel like we're supposed to be. Some people think that God's called them to be the junior Holy Spirit, to shine a light on the sin in other people's lives. When the idea is not as a spotlight, pointing out all the negativity. Get off Facebook if you can't be positive, all right? I'm just saying. Amen. Point out all the negativity. Look at that, negative. No, God's not calling us to be a spotlight. I like this idea, more like a searchlight. Searching for someone who might need to hear the truth. I think this is even better. And Brandy, go ahead and turn the lights on. Because I think what really God's calling us to is more like a floodlight. That whenever we're around the situation, we just make it better. Not because I'm anything special, but because that the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me is the light of God, it's the light of Christ. And I should be more like a floodlight, flooding the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord that's my strength can be their strength. I love that floodlight. Like, there's nothing really controlling the light right now outside of the walls. The only thing holding the light in is these walls. The point is, we've got to get outside of these walls and go reach the world and be the light and the salt that God's called us to be. Again, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a blanket to hide it. That's not what the light was intended to be. It's intended to be seen. It's intended to be effective. Jesus went on to say to his followers that they're the spiritual light of the world, a city that's on a hill that cannot be hidden. If you've ever flown into a city late at night, San Diego is actually a good example, because the further east we go, the darker it gets because of the Laguna and all that. And so it's pretty dark as we're first coming in, but you can see the city from a long way away. And thankfully, they use it to guide them in. And there's something about it. It attracts you in. You can see it for a very long way. My point is this. In the midst, no matter how dark it gets, in fact, the darker it gets, the brighter the light seems to be. I'm telling you this morning that we're called to be that light. And Jesus said that's what we're supposed to be. And how do people see the light within us? It's kind of simple. He says, by doing good works. By doing good things. Remember, faith works. We've got some work to do. That's how it's seen. That's how the light is seen. Jesus said we are to do good works so that others will see Jesus and praise the Father in heaven. It's the light in me that I want them to see. It's not about the light fixture. It's about the light inside. It's about the energy of God. Light is made to be seen. And I just believe this, that God is calling us to shed that light. We are the salt of the earth because we bring flavor. We're the light of the world because we bring hope. We're beacons of hope, beacons of light. This, I believe, for this church, that we're a beacon in this community, that we can be that. We should be that. We can be that as we continue, as we walk in the light. I want our enthusiasm to be infectious, contagious. I want to start an epidemic of enthusiasm for Jesus. Anybody with me? He goes on to say, we're the light of the world. Bottom line is this, we're 100% dependent on the light of God on the inside of us. We're dependent on that. And the world is depending on us shining the light. And that's why, church, I just say this to kind of close up, but I'm inviting you to invite friends to come to church for this reason. Because we're called to do this. This is the role. It's not about, look at how salty we are. Don't we look wonderful? It doesn't do us any good. The salt has to get out of the shaker. It's about, look how bright we shine. I'm not all that impressed. I want to shine brightly in a way that it provides hope. I know this about light. Light is a very intense thing. Light not only brings life, but light adds color. So not only does God call us to be adding flavor to life, but he's also calling us to add color to life. I know folks that are living colorless lives, and they try and fill up their colorless life with things that they think will add color, but all they really do is add a hangover of some sorts. You pick your thing. It could be anything, not just alcohol. I'm saying anything. People that go off on a spending spree and then they have buyer's remorse. This is a hangover. Basically, people trying to add color to their lives. Here's what I know about color. As a diver, color disappears underwater. Within about 5 feet, red starts to disappear. The further deeper you go, more color disappears. And to the point that you finally get down to a place that I was able to see from my own two eyes that the world was black and white at a certain depth. But the reality of it is that's not true, is it? There's plenty of color down there. There's just no light to shine on it. That's what I'm saying, church. We are called into the world to shine a light. There's plenty of color out there. There are plenty of really, you know, and they'll say this to you, I'm a good person. Yeah, you're good. Can you imagine how good you'd be with the light of Christ shining from the inside out? The color that you would have in your life. Anybody that's been a Christian longer than a minute knows that God's color, or God adds color to our lives. It doesn't mean that our lives become easy, but my life is pretty doggone colorful. Except for my legs, my life is colorful. Sorry, I had to just go there. I thought, man, that's kind of an oxymoron, but when you go into water, red disappears within about 5 to 15 feet. Orange starts to disappear at 25 feet. Yellow, and then green, and finally it just becomes black and white. And here's another point that I want to make about that. If you're an underwater photographer, you have to account for the distance between you and the object that you're shooting in terms of color. So you have to bring enough light to illuminate it to the point, but you have to account for the distance. So here's the point. So if you're shooting something that's 10 feet away, you actually don't account for it from 10 feet away. You account for it 20 feet away. It's got to go 10 feet, the light has to go, and then it's got to turn around and come back 10 feet. That's 20 feet. This, why am I saying that? Pastor, where are you going with this? Here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of Christians that run around going, well, I'll just be over here worshiping Jesus as an example. And God has not called you to be over here, aloof, away from, not near something. In order for you to bring out the color, you've got to get closer to the object. The photographer with the light has to get closer to the object, or you got to bring a brighter light. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty confident that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I mean, honestly, compared to some people, I feel like I just have a little light. So if I only have a little light, let me compensate for the little light that I have, what little light I do have, let me get a little closer to the people that I want them to see that light. Not going to be this whole over-spiritual thing of, oh, I'll just live my life as a living testimony. That's not what Jesus is calling you to. Go into all the world. That's not a passive situation. That's a pretty aggressive situation. So he's called us to be salt and light. How many of you want to be more flavorful this summer? Amen. Then do it. It's one of those things where like, I'm not going to give you a formula. You don't need a formula to be salty. Go be salty. You don't need a formula you just need the energy and the life of God in you to be more light. So that's what I want us to be. Would you stand with me and let me pray a prayer over you this morning? Because I want to commission you today and send you out, not as sheep to be slaughtered. Because there's going to be ridicule. You're going to have somebody yell something from the sidelines. I love whenever criticism comes about something I'm doing, I usually don't say this, but I think to myself, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it. What's my point? At least we're doing something. You know, I'm gonna mess up. 16 years as a pastor, I've made some mistakes along the way. It's happened. I've made some mistakes. But I like the way I've been doing it for 16 years better than the guy that quit. Or the, you know, hello, are you hearing me? So, Father, this morning, I pray right now over every single one of us in this room that not only do we have the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to invite people, not only do we have the mandate, but we have, God, the authority because of what you said, that we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the earth, and that the only way that they're ever going to see you is by our good deeds. So, Lord, help us who are blessed to be a blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.